A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 28 March 2021. We will continue from where we stopped. We are using this book, the transcript book, the five aggregates of form and mind. So we are at page 16. This transcript book of mine is based on a recorded talk given by me in the year 2005. That was about 16 years ago, March 17. Then this book was edited and reprinted in the year December 2018. That's why we have our present copy. Then there was a later updated soft copy version that you can see in the website. That one has, I think there are a few spelling mistake or printing error, so we have rectified them. So we turn to page 16. We are at second paragraph, but I would like to go back one paragraph before that, which is at the end of page 15, the last paragraph of page 15. So I will go through this again as a revision, because I was explaining to you all what is a phenomena. So this definition is very important. The definition of what is a phenomena is very important, because from this definition you will understand mind, what mind is all about. You will understand how mind comes about. Can everybody repeat this understanding? What is a phenomenon? So we read together. The answer is, anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. So this definition is very complete. You can find it in the dictionary too. So anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. So this will let you have a good understanding of what this mind is all about. So this mind that perceives phenomena is the mundane mind. This is not your true mind. So whatever perception you arise, the aggregate of perception, which is sanya, will arise. And that is the phenomenon. So anything perceivable by the mundane mind is a phenomenon. Can you give example of what is a phenomenon? Yes, somebody answered. Sound can be perceived. That's why it's a phenomenon. Also, anything that you can see is also perceivable through your eye organ via your seeing consciousness. That is also a phenomenon. They are all phenomena. But a lot of people do not understand. The thought phenomena must be, they thought a phenomena must be a movement or a flow or something that can cause you to perceive it. But the true meaning of a phenomena is very deep and wide. That is, anything that is perceivable by your senses or your mundane mind. Even your tasting, your smell, your touch, your sensation, and your thought processes, the mental formation and images, and whatever mental activity that arises, mental movement, that your mind can be perceived is also, that your mundane mind can perceive is also a phenomenon. That's how we can have the three basic phenomena to define clearly what is a phenomenon. So first we have the physical body, which can give rise to physical phenomena, like your hand movement is a phenomenon, the blinking of your eye is a phenomenon, your walking, your four posture of standing, sitting, lying down, they are all phenomena, etc. All these are manifestations of your physical body, which give rise to physical phenomena. This part regarding physical phenomena, is it clear? Can you all follow? Then within your physical body, you really need to understand the unreality of this form and all these physical phenomena. In fact, now we continue. In fact, under Kayanupassana, the first foundation of the four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha emphasized the need to develop mindfulness by anchoring our awareness or the true mind to this kaya or physical form. Mindfulness encompasses anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Mindfulness of the four elements, the earth element, the heat element, the whatever cohesion or water element. Then the other one is vayu or wind element that involve movement, activity. Then mindfulness of the 32 parts of the body. Then mindfulness of the four postures, which we have gone through, standing, sitting, lying down, and walking. So this mindfulness of the four postures, together with clear comprehension and mindfulness of every action and every movement within life or within the present moment, is very important. All these are part of our physical phenomena for us to cultivate Kayanupassana, means mindfulness of Kaya. The foundation on mindfulness of the Kaya. Then the second type of phenomena has to do with your mind, mental flow or mental phenomena. All the perception that your mind perceives through your seeing consciousness, your hearing consciousness, your smell, taste, touch or tactile and thought consciousness will give rise to the respective mental phenomena, because anything that is perceivable by the senses via the mundane mind is a phenomena. So the third and last phenomena is nature's phenomena. Nature has a lot of phenomena. In our daily life, we will come across many things that confront our senses as nature's phenomena. When you walk out of here, you can perceive these moving cars. You can look at the trees, the plants, the way the branches, the leaf, and the flag moves when the wind blows. All these are nature's phenomena that comes about through nature's creation. So whatever you can perceive of nature is nature's phenomena. Then 3.3 is very important. Seeing the unreality of form and seeing beyond form. So this is going towards profound mind dhamma. Initially, it's just form dhamma. So form dhamma, you perceive form, the mundane seeing, mundane perception. That one is very common. Most people do that. But if you are a cultivator, if you are a spiritual practitioner, if you have developed certain form of insight or understanding and wisdom, then you can see the unreality of form. When you see the unreality of form, then you develop the straightening of the view and the wisdom to enable you to see beyond form, so that form will not have any power over you. Form will not deceive you or distract you. Unless you have the ability to see the unreality of form that enable you to subsequently see beyond form, form will continue to haunt you, continue to delude you, deceive you, and condition you into grasping, clinging, giving meaning and holding on to them. That's how suffering comes to be, entanglement comes to be. So the first noble truth of dukkha arises because you fail to understand the unreality of form. And you cannot see the unreality of form, you cannot go beyond form. You cannot like relinquish form. Form will always haunt you, afflicts you. Yeah. Then that delusion will condition you to grasp, cling and hold on to all physical form, mental form within nature. So now I will go into the sharing so that you can develop the clear understanding. The first aggregate of form, rupa, is not restricted to only our bodily form, our physical body. The more comprehensive and wider definition includes the external form. So this external form is very important, that the senses perceive through the six sense doors. The external form are very important. If you are not able to see this external form clearly for what they are, then you will not be able to see the unreality of form. And if you cannot establish the unreality of form, you will never be able to understand how clinging, grasping, and attachment to all this form arise or comes to be. Because you do not know that they are not real. Not real means it's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to, grasp on to, and cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. Their arising is due to two very fundamental conditioning. First, ask yourself how all this external form that you come to perceive, including the moving car, etc., everything else within nature, or whatever is external to us and within the world where our senses can be perceived, such as the fan, the painting on the wall, the lightings, and all that you can see in this room, including all that you can hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think, etc. All these are external form. How do they come about? You have to understand this mental form and see them very clearly. They are not really the way your mind perceives them to be. How do all this form comes about? How do they arise? You have to inquire. You have to ask yourself. We have dealt with phenomena before. Whatever you perceive and bring to mind is your mental creation. Is that not so? All the external form has been created by your mind through your sense door consciousness. Can you see the power of creation by your mundane mind? Can you follow? The seeing consciousness arises when you open your eye. All those sense perception that comes through your seeing consciousness are created by you already. That's why you are the greatest magician. They like arise and it's like real. These external forms have already arisen in you because there are this condition for their existence. But when conditions cease to be, just as when you close your eyes, all these external form that you have created through your seeing consciousness are gone. So the question is, are they real? The moment of their arising, sustaining, followed by their cessation of that consciousness, must be seen clearly through very stable daily mindfulness in order to have the ability to see the unreality of all this form. This is very important. Even this physical body, the mind dwells in it, is not really you, and it is not so real, not what you do. So we pause for a while to develop further understanding. I will now go into the detailed explanation. So the example given is very good. Before we open our eye to perceive all the external form within this world of existence or our environment, wherever we are, like now we are attending our Zoom class, I am at home, you all are at home, or maybe somewhere in the office, or in whatever environment you may be in. Then if you pause for a while, and through your seeing consciousness, if you are to mindfully observe, then you start to understand all these things that you can see through your seeing consciousness, you are able to observe and perceive the external phenomenal world, the external form. Like within my house here, I can see all of the pristine beauties and wonders of the external form within this house. I can also perceive the aircon sound, the fan sound, the moving fan, the lightings, the furniture, whatever, the books, the table, the camera, the computer, even our audio system, then the floor tiles, the ceiling. So all these are external form, even the Buddha Rupang, my altar, the flower, the fruits that we offer, everything. They are external form that we can perceive. The question is, how did it arise? You listen carefully. How did it arise? You say, after I opened my eye to see. Yes. But did you really develop the understanding of this process of seeing? What is seeing? Who see? What see? And how does all these things that I described just now, the external form, comes about? Through just the seeing consciousness. There are other senses. Hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. Seeing alone is so powerful. The moment I open my eye, I have the condition to perceive all these things. Because I have a physical body, I have the organ of the eye. I have a consciousness trapped inside. Then there is enough lighting to bring the external form into the mind. Then upon contact, seeing consciousness trickle. Then through my memory, my conditioning, I perceive them according to what my memory tells me, my conditioning tells me. So that's how the phenomenal world of consciousness or external form comes to be. They exist already, they arise through what? Through external condition, through internal condition. So external and internal condition brings about the ability of this mundane mind to perceive. Then when we perceive the external phenomenal world or the form actually manifests. They arise, and we thought it's real. But as real as can be, when you close your eye, what happened? The whole thing is like gone. You can only recall through memory. Yeah, just now I saw this, I saw that, I saw that. But without this memory, without this thinking, the moment you close your eye, there is no more condition for its arising. Then do you tell me? They cease to be. So how real can form be? Externally, it is the way it is. But for you to perceive it, you must have a functional organ, like the eye, E-Y-E. Together with the consciousness trapped inside and the lighting external condition for this external form to come in upon contact, like the physics experiment, the seeing consciousness arises, or you become conscious of what you see. And through the perception, the external form enters the mind. So all this happens very fast through our mundane seeing, the mundane mind. Then we input the content of consciousness, then we start to proliferate the thinking, the thought process. All this that I described to you, you must have mindfulness to see them. Otherwise, you just take it for granted because you never really observe clearly. Develop mindfulness over the arising of all this. And because you don't have mindfulness, you are caught, you are like conditioned by what you see. So that's how attachment come to be, delusion come to be. The mind get itself entangled through lack of understanding. But if you have been mindful, aware, then you start to inquire, how did all this arise? They are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. Any of these conditions cease to be, they cease to be. So it's not what we think. That's why I start to understand the unreality of form. This form may appear very real to us, like the table, the physical phenomena, my house, the building, the columns, the ceiling, everything that is solid and tangible. It's like very real. Even like this table, we ask ourselves, how did it arise? Apart from the three conditions, the eye organ, the consciousness, and the external lighting that brings forth the what they call seeing consciousness to allow us to perceive this table. The question we are more interested in is this table real? How did this table arise before we can perceive it? So this table itself, externally, it may appear very solid, very real, like it exists, permanent. But as we all know, through science, through physics, through observation, this one arises because of condition. Without condition, the table will never be here. What are the conditions? You need somebody who manufactured this table to gather the raw material, gather the worker, the skilled people to actually develop it or manufacture it. Then get it finished off, paint, varnish, then put on the market for sales. Then whoever has the money or the condition to buy it, it will be delivered to them. That's how this table appears. So externally is also condition arising, dependent originating. It is never a permanent unchanging entity that was originally there all the time. So it needs its own condition for its arising. So externally is already not a permanent unchanging entity, not so real, not what you think. Then the reason why I say it's not permanent or not something eternal is because this table can also disappear. When the condition ceases to be, it will cease to be. How can it get disappear? When somebody stole it, or I decide to give it away, donate to charity or whatever. Or over time, wear and tear, it starts to deteriorate. Then it starts to break down. So when condition ceases to be, it will cease to be. So externally, it's already not what you think. It arises through condition. It disappears through condition. It exists depending on the sustaining condition. So all these are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then how do you know it's a table? That second question or inquiry is very important. We need to perceive it, isn't it? Through what? Through our mundane mind, our aggregate of perception. And how real can that be? That perception is just an image in our brain. If you are a physics student, you will know the image is laterally inverted. Then our brain know how to make it upright. Then we perceive it. So externally, already not so real. There is condition arising, cause of phenomena, come and go. And how do we know it's a table? We have to perceive it through what? A mental image. So how real can that image be? So the question is, if it's already not what you think, externally, dependent originating, not so real, then how do you know it's a table? You only perceive it through an image. The image is even more unreal than that. Then why do you cling on to it, hold on to it, and give so much meaning over it? When you deludedly believe it belongs to you, you have problem. You don't want to lose it. You don't want it to degenerate, to decay, or to have problem. Not necessarily just a table. It can be your wealth, your property, your loved ones. Everything that you hold on to dearly in this world, even your reputation, your whatever possession. So that's what attachment is all about. When you believe you own, when you cannot see the unreality of this form, suffering comes to be because you attach, you cling, you don't want to see it separated. You don't want to lose it. So this is the wisdom part that a cultivator should have as the right understanding for us to liberate our mind so that we do not deludedly grasp, cling, and hold on to this external form or external phenomenal world. Even our physical body is the same, appears so real. But when you really silence your mind, observe through mindfulness and awareness, you realize they are dependent originating too. Our physical body, together the conscious tract inside, is also a phenomenon. The three conditions that supported is arising, which we have gone through. We need a physical body that is in functional position. Then we need a consciousness that is trapped inside. Then we need to have the karmic force or the life force to give it the sustaining energy to pump our heart and animate it into a human form. So this human being is dependent originating because of the condition that supported is arising. Any other condition, when it ceases, the human being also disperses and ceases to be. Then they say you die. But in reality, who died? Nothing died. Only the conditions separate. When consciousness separate from the form, when it can no longer reside inside because conditions cease to be, it can be the life force no more. Or that physical body cannot sustain that consciousness because it's damaged. Then the consciousness has to leave. So any of the condition missing, the form and mind disperse. That is separate. For those who understand, they see this very clearly. He know you, he know me. Everything is dependent originating condition. So the teaching is about having the ability to see the unreality of form, especially the five aggregates of form and mind, the external form, the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. So all these are very important understanding. Okay, so with this explanation, we go back to the transcript note, and when I go through with you, you can understand more. Okay, external form. External form. There are two ways to see their unreality, so you listen attentively. First It is through nature's law and its condition arising nature. We ask ourselves, anything that we can see, be it a table, a chair, or a human being, or any phenomenon such as sound, how do they come about? They are nature's condition that brings about their existence. So just how I explained the table. So similarly, we have to inquire, this is now general explanation. Is that not so? How does this table arise or come to be? Do you need a creator God to create this table? Definitely no, isn't it? There are conditions for its arising. The conditions are you need somebody to gather the raw material, like I explained just now. Then you need a skilled worker to skillfully craft the parts and fix up the table. Then someone offer it for sales. You have the money, you buy it, and it comes to be. That's how it arises. It has already been created. These are very tangible forms. External forms are mostly more tangible, and they last longer. So you cannot see their impermanent nature easily. But when it comes to sound, which we have already dealt with, we can understand its transient nature more easily. Sound is a very good example. When the vibration arises, there is condition for its arising. Sorry, I read again. When the vibration arises, there is condition for its arising. Is that not so? When you have ears, functional ears, and you are nearby, then you can perceive their arising, the arising of that sound. So there are conditions for hearing consciousness to arise. The external conditions that are needed to give rise to sound are many. The air conditioner and the vibration from the engine of a passing car are example. All these are conditions needed for the arising. So when you switch off the air conditioning, or when the moving car passes beyond your hearing range, to you, that sound, which is an external form, has ceased to be. Then we ask the question, is it real? Are the aircon sound, the moving car's vibration, those sounds that you perceived earlier, are they real? Maybe real to the existential world or to the physical world, the condition or conceptual world, it meaning conventional truth. It may appear real, but because it is condition arising, dependent originating, dependent on condition it arises, so it is not so real, not what you think. The reason is when the supporting conditions are there, they sustain their existence. And when the supporting condition ceases to be, it ceases to be, or it ceases to arise, or ceases totally. Now you can see the coming and going and the appearing and disappearing of this external phenomena that your mind creates through your mind door. They are all not so real because they arise due to condition. So this is a very important understanding, especially sound. When there is condition for you to hear them, it appears real. But when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Now, how do you reconcile? When human being condition ceases to be, you say the human being died. But when the sound ceases to be, you never say the sound died. Yeah, you know the sound don't have a life. The sound is dependent originating. But actually, similarly, the human being is also condition arising, supported by the three conditions. So when they cease to be, that human being separate, it also ceases to be, your identity erased. But we all, very strange, we say the human being died. So we give it an entity, an identity, that is delusion, sakkayaditti, self-delusion. So this is a very important understanding. Eh? Then I go on to the next part, which the Buddha gave as an analogy, which is very good, the bullock cart analogy. The Buddha gave a bullock cart analogy, which I have shared before on many earlier occasions. This is a very good analogy. He pointed to the bullock cart and asked the disciple, "What do you all see?" Of course, all the bhikkhus said or replied, "It's a bullock cart." The Buddha then asked them, "Okay, now you take all the parts away, separate out the wheel, separate out all the parts of the bullock cart." Then he asked again, "Now where is the bullock cart?" Anybody wants to try and answer this analogy? To living being, when conditions or the parts come together, the phenomena arise. And when the phenomena arise, perform a function, you give it a name and a concept by calling it a bullock cart. So do you see how it arises and how it is being created? When all the parts is like the condition comes together, when you assemble them and it is able to perform a function, you give it a concept and a name, then it has already arisen. It's like real. But when the sustaining conditions are not there, such as when you dismantle them, the concept of that blockade is gone. And the blockade is also gone, no longer in existence. So the coming and going of external form is based on external condition links to the physical law of nature, and there are causes and conditions behind the arising. When the condition ceases to be, it disappears. In that sense, based on ultimate truth, when you look at it, it is not real because it is impermanent due to its condition arising nature. So this is the first aspect based on nature's law. With this understanding, you will be able to subsequently understand why people say conditioned existence are all manifestation of mind. So this is a very direct understanding. When you have seen all this clearly, perceive it through your mindfulness and awareness and your mundane mind very clearly, then you will understand all this and you will understand the saying, which just now I share with you all. With this understanding, you will be able to subsequently understand why people say conditioned existence are all manifestation of mind. Because without mind, all this cannot arise. And causal phenomena are also manifestation of mind. Because conditioned phenomena of existence, it has to do with the mind. So everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why they are all manifestation of mind. That's also the reason why the Buddha said, "Mind is the forerunner of all things. Where mind arises, everything comes to be." So mind is like the magician. This is because all phenomena or external form arise due to mind's perception. When there are causes for it to arise, like the echoing sound, the car sound or vibration, or the block card or the table, then it arises. When the condition no longer exists, it ceases to be. So this is very important. Eh? So can you all understand or follow? So I explain further. I say, you see, externally is already not so real because it is condition arising, dependent originating. But how do you perceive the blocker? This part is very important. This part involves the mind. Where does the knowing of the buloka come from? It is through your mental perception or sanya, the aggregate of sanya or perception. Because you need to perceive it through the seeing consciousness, your memory. So you bring the external form into the mind. That perception comes through your mind, your sense or consciousness. The five aggregates of form and mind must arise. If it does not arise, there is no seeing consciousness. This is the second aspect, the five mental aggregate. We have the four aggregate of mind plus the external form give rise to the five aggregate. Where whatever you perceive is the mental form, external form. So the four aggregate of mind, which is Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, together with the mental form, it forms the five aggregates of form and mind. If there is no seeing consciousness, it means there is no contact, no feeling, and no perception of form. So all these are the paticca samuppada, 12. Upon contact, feeling arise. Upon contact, consciousness arise. Then when feeling arise, it condition activity, craving and all those things. When you do not perceive, nothing arises. That is why if you look at the Dhammapada words, you will understand why the first two verses are so important. The twin verse. The Buddha proclaimed, mind is the forerunner of all things. By mind is the world created and led, and by mind is the world drawn. All man owns the sovereignty of mind. You see, this aspect of mind is very important, and we have already discussed it. That's why that is the reason why I say, if you do not understand phenomena, it will be very difficult for you to understand mind. That's why the definition of what is a phenomenon is very important. It can enable you to understand mind. Because the mundane mind has this aggregate of perception that can trigger the perception of external form. So this understanding is very important, giving rise to all the mental phenomena that you come to perceive and observe. If you understand what a phenomena is, that is anything that is perceivable by the senses is a phenomena, that is anything that is perceivable by the senses is a phenomena, then you will know how mind arises. I had already explained through your sense or consciousness and sense perception how everything comes about through condition. All phenomena are condition arising phenomena. You must know all this. You need the sense organ, you need the sense data, then you need the mind to create contact to arise the sense of consciousness. Within the sense consciousness, there is the feeling aggregate and the perception aggregate, that perceive thing for you to see. So externally, it's already not so real because the blockade arises from external condition. That is when it is assembled, it comes to be, or it comes about, or it has arisen already. When you perceive it through your mind, the mundane mind is only an image here pointing to the forehead. That is why the mental formation that created the blockade is actually a mind-made image, a creation of your thought and your mundane mind. Externally, it's already not so real. And when you bring it to mind, it's only an image created by your thought. That is the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, and all things arise when mind arises. So Mahayana has a famous saying. The Mahayana tradition gave great emphasis to this understanding. And their equivalent Mandarin quote is, 一切为心造. So mind is the forerunner of all things, means everything is mind made. 一切为心造, that is the meaning. Mind make are they no reality. Those who understand Mandarin will know or understand its meaning. That everything is created by the mind. 一切为心造. From the definition of phenomena, you will come to know that all sense or perception create for you the phenomenal world and the conventional reality. All the external form arises due to this understanding, and you will come to know that their nature are due to other conditions that condition their arising. And because they are conditioned arising entity, how can they be a permanent unchanging entity? So this is the fundamental understanding. Since they are conditioned arising, how can it be a permanent unchanging entity? That's why it's called anatta, non-self, empty, not what you think. So this understanding is very, very important. Now you will start to see and understand why they are impermanent, because dependent on condition they arise. So when condition change, things will flow or change. And when they change, you must understand their characteristics. It's a nature's law. It is beyond each and every one of us to gain control. That is why there is no control. According to the Buddha, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And this statement is very powerful. When you understand this statement, you will have wisdom and right view. Because every moment, every instant in life, when conditions are set, things will be this way, cannot be otherwise. So that is the reality. That is nature. That is suchness. That's why the Buddha is also called a Tathagata, expert in Tathata. Tathata is suchness. So all this understanding is very important. If I know that whatever arises, there are causes and conditions, then I can accept the reality and be at peace first. Then I act, I live. It doesn't mean I does not act after that. So this understanding is very important. Then we move on to another section. Oh, we stop here maybe. 3.4. Page 22, 3.4. Because it's almost 4 o'clock, we can have our meditation first. Then afterwards we come back, we can continue. Okay. We will stop here. Then we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay, we will off the light. Then you can start your meditation now. Always remember, relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then trust your nature to do. Then stabilize your awareness. Let the mind return to its original state before it's stirring or before its manifestation, before the aggregates of mind comes to be, before the mundane mind arises. So learn to silence and develop the ability to stabilize the awareness nature so that you can develop the clear understanding of what that true mind is. That silent mind without thought is your true mind. And that is your meditative mind. That is the mind that you can make use of to develop the meditation and the understanding. So all of meditation is to develop the ability to realize this mind. So I repeat the four support. Relax, aware, maintain awareness for as long as you can. And finally, trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. Don't try to know. Don't try to use your thought to meditate. So just trust your nature. Let things be. Let everything move by itself. And let it slow down until finally it ceases. Your true mind is the condition before all this agitation arises, before all this aggregate of mind arises. So you have to observe this through your understanding. So silence everything and like you are dead. Whatever happens, you cannot react, you cannot move. You just maintain awareness like the silent mind. Just observe choiceless awareness of the reality. Whatever that is going on, just let it be, let it be. Away, finish, away, finish, away, finish. Until the mind quiet down, until suddenly there is a shift of consciousness. Everything becomes very still, very quiet. Then there is no more movement. Then you can see clearly between that awareness nature and the thinking mind. They arise very fast. That is the beginning of true understanding. When you go through that, you will understand what sati is, what the true mind is, what the meditative silent mind is. Then you can meditate. You can develop wisdom. Then you will understand the teaching. Okay. I will set the 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then you can continue your meditation. So we'll continue from where we start. We are at page 22, 3.4. Pancha Niyamas, the five universal order of nature. So this topic is also very important, because in order to understand life, understand the existential world, our universe, we need to understand this Pancha Niyamas. They are the five universal order or great nature's law that governs life and existence. So if you understand this five universal order, which are the Pancha Niyamas, then you will understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, which means you will understand life, you will know how to live life. That's the reason why we need to learn this particular topic. So the Buddha taught this five universal order of nature, or he called it the Pancha Niyamas. So according to the sharing, I say we have already discussed the five universal order, Pancha Niyamas of nature before. And what are they? They are first Uttu Niyamas. Uttu Niyamas means the physical law of nature, or the physical order of nature, means all of the nature's law that deals with physical things. They are under this category of nature's law, or we call it the field of physics, chemistry. It's mainly scientific in nature. So this is the physical order of nature. Then the second nature's law is Bija Niyama, which is also a scientific law. The Buddha called it the biological orders of nature, or Bija Niyama. Then the other three are spiritual laws. These spiritual laws are very important. The first one is Karma Niyama, the law of karma, the karmic law. Followed by the law of mind, Chitta Niyama. Chitta is mind. So this is the order of mind, how our mind arises and how we function as a human being. So if you want to understand the nature's law that governs mind, we have to understand this law, Chitta Niyama. Then the last of the three spiritual law is Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma is truth. All the teachings of the Buddha is also called Dhamma. That's why he teaches truth. And the essence of his teaching is the four noble truths. Noble truths because they are true that can make you noble ones. That's why they are called noble truths. Arya Satya. Satya are true, Arya are nobles. So noble ones in the time of the Buddha is called enlightened ones. The reason for it is because during the time of the Buddha, the enlightened ones are very noble in all aspects of life. That's why they have very noble qualities. They have right view, right understanding, great wisdom. Then they also conduct themselves very well. They are very noble in the way they arise their thought process, in the way they act, they speak, they communicate with people, and in the way they live their life. That's why they are very noble in all aspects of life. Then they also have very noble quality in the sense that they train themselves very well. That's why they have this four right effort to constantly purify and improve themselves. Then they also have this very noble quality of mind, which is mindfulness. Their mindfulness are perfect. So this samasati is the noble quality of an enlightened being, followed by samadhi, means the right samadhi, the mind that is collected and unwavering with upekha. When wisdom arises, upekha arises. So samadhi is the enlightenment factor before upekha. But with sati and samadhi, the mind can see things as they are and awaken. That's why there will be wisdom. And wisdom is under right view, right understanding. That's the reason why the Noble Eightfold Path, they are the noble qualities of enlightened beings. So when we look at Noble Eightfold Path, we thought there is only sati, samadhi, then we cannot find panya or wisdom. No, panya is on the right view. So if you look at the Noble Eightfold Path, these are the noble qualities that the enlightened beings has. So the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path make them very noble in all aspects of life. So that's the reason why it's called Dhamma. True. So Dhamma Niyama are nature's law that governs all of truth. Or nature's law of truth that are not already covered by the first four universal order. Means Uttu Niyama, Bija Niyama, Kama Niyama, and Chitta Niyama. Some call it the nature's occurrences. Nature occurrences or whatever nature's law or truth not already covered by the first four. So certain phenomena, they have nature's law behind. Like very fantastic nature's phenomena or occurrences, like the sign in heaven. Sometimes it shows the sign of a great being passing away, or the birth of a great being, or something extraordinary has happened. So these are nature's occurrences and manifestation, not covered by the first four. Then all the other truth which the Buddha taught, the essential Dhamma, they are also under Dhamma Niyama, the nature's order of Dhamma. So I will read on and you will understand. Having understood this, we have to link them back to our earlier discussion on the five aggregates of form and mind. You have already understood what phenomena is. After understanding that, it will direct you to the mind, because whatever that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. And also, because by understanding phenomena, which is key to the understanding of mind, you can understand how all the external form, meaning the aggregates of mind and your physical body, together with all external forms, meaning the aggregates of your physical body together with all the external forms or things that you perceive, how they arise through nature's condition, because they are all condition arising phenomena. So all this we have gone through, we will now tie them back to the five panchaniyamas or universal order of nature. So when you understand that they are all condition arising, you will start to develop the understanding that you cannot cling on to them or want things your way, because nature already has its own sets of laws, the panchaniyamas that governs life and existence. And that is the way it is going to be, or that is the reality or suchness. If you want it your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer, because it means you have attachment to things. You want things your way, for example. You want your body to always remain young, never get old, never get sick, and never die. You will be disappointed, because the law of nature has their own set of law. And as such, this physical body of ours will go the way of nature, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. That's why the Buddha told us, under the five daily contemplation, that this body of ours is of the nature to decay, grow old, get sick, and die. So these are the reality. So I will read on. That is the reason why in the last session we discussed the five daily contemplation as taught by the Buddha. The first three recollections are that this body of ours has not gone beyond disease, sickness, not gone beyond decay, aging, and not gone beyond death. And the fourth contemplation is whatever that you think you own or are dear to you, they will one day either separate from you or you will separate from them. So the reality of separation is always there. And the last contemplation is regards to the law of karma. You contemplate all this daily, you will develop the second turning wisdom, Chintamayapanya, understanding. Then your attachment to this physical body and mental form will be greatly reduced or attenuated. Finally, when you awaken, you will understand that nature's law are such. All the clinging comes from your attachment and feelings born of self-delusion. Whenever sense of consciousness arises, there is this aggregate of feeling for which you must develop the understanding. That's why the Buddha, when he taught us this second foundation of mindfulness, Vedana Nupassana, you have to do it, otherwise you cannot understand. So that is the reason why this second foundation of mindfulness, Vedana Nupassana, or mindfulness of feeling, is a very important aspect of your meditation. You cannot develop that well, it will be very difficult for you to deal with your attachment or clinging. The attachment arises from these aggregates of feeling. You can recall what the Buddha had taught us under the 12 link, Paticchasamuppada. Have you heard of this 12 link, Paticchasamuppada, or law of dependent originating? Means law of dependent origination. In Pali, it's called Paticca Samuppada or Ittapacayata. Ittapacayata. The dwelling is also called the law of dependent origination. For the benefit of those who have not heard this term before, let me briefly run through it. According to the Buddha, understanding this 12-link teaching is very important, where it explains clearly how our mind functions. Means you will understand the spiritual law of citta niyama. Later, you will be able to understand why he taught this. First, he said the first two very important links, fundamental link of unenlightened human being. In Pali, he call it avijja paccaya sankhara. Avijja is ignorant or self-delusion, ignorant of truth, ignorant of the reality of life and existence, the five pancha niyamas. Because you have ignorance, you do not understand. So your condition, sankhara activity or mental activity or thinking, hence dependent on ignorance, mental activity arises because you do not understand. That's why you want to know, wanting to know, wanting to experience. You will create thinking. Is that not so? You tend to think, even in school. The teacher will tell you, go back and think about it. That is the reason why the first link is always avijja paccaya sankhara for unenlightened being. But this is the ignorant, sorry, because there is this ignorant, which means you do not understand the truth and the reality. And because of that, you will start thinking, developing mental activity or sankhara, which is the thinking process. So dependent on this sankhara, he said, nama rupa arises. What is nama rupa? The five aggregates of form and mind. Why did he say that? We have already discussed it, remember? What is sankhara? All your mental activities, your mental volition, your mental formation, and everything that your mind can do, including your thinking, planning, scheming, mental states, etc., are all sankhara. Is the content of consciousness, everything that the mind can do. So when sankhara arises, this thinking activity will trigger off the mind or consciousness through contact with the mind organ. Then you input the content of consciousness, hence giving rise to the five mental aggregates of form and mind. I had explained how consciousness arises. There must be the sense organs, sense data, and contact of mind. So contact of mind will give rise to sense door consciousness. And that consciousness will have the content of consciousness which give rise to the five aggregates of form and mind. This is how nama rupa arises. So nama rupa arises because of ignorant contact. Because you do not understand, that is why you want to think. Thinking creates contact within your mind. And our mind, which is the brain, is also an organ. So brain is where memory is. All of our accumulated experiences, good and bad. Whatever conditioning, views, opinion, our belief system, our accumulated fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, happiness, and sorrow, and other things. Everything that we experience while going through life will be accumulated as memory within the brain. And this brain is an organ. That's why when we have this accumulated memory, it will create thinking. Thought process. Because thought is basically response to memory. Without memory, there is no thought. That's why the newborn baby, they don't think. They have pure consciousness, pure awareness. They can see things as they are without the words, without the concept, without all the cunningness, the conditioning, the views, the opinion, your belief system, all the accumulated rubbish. they don't even understand many things. That's why when they see things as they are. But there is no memory to recall what they are. There is no perception from memories. So this is the reason why when we think, we make contact with the memory or the brain. Then when we make contact, like the physics experiment, upon contact, what happens? The light bulb lights up. We become conscious. So this is mental consciousness. That's why the third link, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. This is the third link. We become conscious, mental consciousness arise. Then this consciousness will be conditioned into nama rupang, the five aggregate of form and mind, where we input the content of consciousness, where we input our mental intention, our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our belief system. This is for mundane people who are not enlightened. They act according to memory. Their content of consciousness is memory, which are full of your views, opinion, and conditioning. That's how living beings get into problem. So when the content of consciousness went in, this nama rupang, or the mental five aggregate of form and mind, they arise. And this is the one that is responsible for karma, karmic. But it's during this time that the mental intention goes in. So dependent on the mental intention, it gave rise to karmic effect or karmic consequences. So whether that form and mind, nama rupang, the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome depend on the mental intention, the content of consciousness that went in. So basically, when it's at the third link, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanang, that vijnanang is actually the fourth aggregate of mind. You remember? Vedana, sanya, sankhara, and vijnanang. So vijnanang is the pure consciousness or the receptacle before the content go in. So that is the pure consciousness, the pure seeing before the interpretation come in, before the views, opinion, perception, and the conditioning come in. Means before you input the content of consciousness and make it into a thought. And that thought is basically your mundane mind, your thinking mind, because the aggregates of mind has gone in. So this third and fourth link is also very important. If you are mindful, you can see them as separate. But most people who are deluded, they can't, because the thinking mind arises very fast. They react very fast. They become affected, emotional. They stir their mind very fast. So these 12 links, they operate very fast at mind level. Without mindfulness, without this teaching, without this understanding, you cannot cope. Because our senses are active when we live life. It's more or less fully engaged during our conscious moment. So every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, mental intention arises, content of consciousness moving. It affects us, it stirs our mind, it conditions us to react, to arise the heedless thinking, like in this time, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences. And these are the first two of the five mental hindrances. Sensual desire and evil. Then when we cannot understand, we have doubt. It's also a mental hindrance. Then when we have problem, when we project our thought, we arises the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, and the lamentation. Then when we are engaged in topic that doesn't interest us, we feel very boring. Our mind becomes sleepy. So lethargic mind, sleepiness of mind, or sloth and torpor is a mental hindrance. So these five mental hindrance arise when you lack the spiritual faculties. So this is how, through mindfulness, you can observe all these things and understand the Buddha's teaching very clearly. So I will read on, then you will understand more. Thinking creates contact within the mind, which is an organ. That is how these mental five aggregates of form and mind continuously arise in living beings. That is why, just now before I start, I told you, you have to see how nama rupa arises in you and understand what these five aggregates of form and mind are all about before you can deal with the form and mind. So this is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, where the external form is your perception aggregate that brings the external form into the mind, thereby giving rise to the five aggregates. Again, that is how the clinging attachment and attachment to all those forms or things comes to be. I will go through the dwelling and then we will understand clearly how suffering arises. We have just discussed the first three links. Can you follow? Actually, the first four links. Dependent on ignorant mental activity arises. That is to say, avijja paccaya sankhara is followed by sankhara paccaya vijnana. They are dependent originating. They are dependent originating. Okay. So this sankhara vijnana, here I think they miss out some word. Actually, the link, when they happen, they are dependent originating. So the word originating is missing. So dependent on sankhara, vijnanam, or the pure consciousness arises first. So you got a pen. Oh, cannot write on this one.
Can
I? Yeah, wait. Let my daughter write. So we have to connect this. They are dependent originating and dependent on sankhara. Enough already. Correct. Oh, the on is there, okay. And dependent on sankhara vijnana or the pure consciousness which arises first. Oh, sorry. I have to rephrase it. They are dependent originating and dependent on sankhara vijnana or the pure consciousness will arise first. Will arise first. Or just arises first. I just cancel that one. Arises first. From this pure sense door consciousness, that's why this is the pure consciousness or pure consciousness without the content. And sometimes we also call it a pure perception before the perception, before the actual aggregates go in. Means the pure consciousness, seeing things as they are at this stage. From this pure perception or consciousness born of contact, which is the thinking aspect, your five mental aggregates of form and mind will arise after you input your content of consciousness through your views, opinion, and conditioning. So this one I have explained. After these five aggregates of form and mind has arisen, what do they condition? Who can remember? Yes, nama rupa paccaya salayatana. So the fifth link is salayatana. Salayatana are your sense bases. So I asked that question at that time. What is salayatana? Somebody answered, but it's wrong. I said no. It's before contact. Your sense bases. That is nama rupa paccaya salayatana. Salayatana is your sixth sense basis, the sense basis. So what the Buddha is trying to explain to you is dependent on the arising of these five mental aggregates of form and mind, there must be sense basis, because without the sense basis, there is no form and mind. you have to have the sense basis functioning to receive contact and sense data to trigger off the mental consciousness. So that brings about the next link, which is the fifth link, salayatana. So salayatana is your sense basis. Then dependent on this sense basis arises contact. That's how it happened. Yeah? In Pali, they call it pasad. Contact is pasad. So dependent on contact, which is pasad, he said feeling will arise. So feeling is vedana. So pasad pachya vedana. Vedana pachya tangha. So this is how the next link arises. Then dependent on feeling, it conditions craving or tangha to arise. Tangha is craving. If you do not have wisdom, the yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience, when feeling arises, you will cling, you will grasp, you will attach. Whether positive or negative, craving has already arisen. Then you cannot cut at feeling. Then dependent on craving or tangha, upadana, grasping will arise. After you have developed grasping, craving, it will condition you to grasp that thing because the craving has become so strong that you want it so badly. So dependent on that craving, you start to grasp. Grasping arise, and dependent on grasping, you become that. They call it bhavo or becoming. You become that which you grasp and cling. Let us say you have a lustful nature or condition. You have a feeling that arises that make you lustful. Then when you develop the craving further, you grasp at it. You have a very strong desire to have it. And you become that lustful nature. Then from this becoming, you condition birth. Birth of what? For example, a rapist. Hence, the whole mass of suffering, which is sorrow and lamentation, etc., will follow. So this is essentially a very brief explanation of the dwelling. So understanding this dwelling is very important. I want to emphasize particularly the second link, dependent on ignorant mental activity or sankhara arise. This part is very important. That is why you can recall what the Buddha taught. He always used the word sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, and sabbe dhamma anatta. Anyone understand what these three Pali stanza means? The Buddha said all of sankhara are impermanent. That is what sabbe sankhara anicchang means. All of sankhara, because they are impermanent, they lead to suffering or dukkha. If you have attachment, then you will suffer. So it should be continued actually. Yeah? All of sankhara are impermanent and all sankhara lead to dukkha if you have attachment. Okay. Then in the last stanza, he said, whether it is sankhara or whatever, all of dhamma is anatta or non-self, empty. He classified sankhara as conditioned world, because sankhara or mental activity arises within our form and mind. It is the existential world of consciousness or phenomenal world of consciousness. Do you all know what the world of existence is? Whatever we experience within our life is existent, and that part is what Buddha mean by sankhara. It is the reason why he said all of sankhara are only your mental thinking, your mental activity or mental consciousness. And that is why they are impermanent. They arise and they pass away. They come and they go. The moment that sense or consciousness arise, such as seeing, the thinking that follows the seeing will arise. Then the next moment, another hearing, smell, taste, touch, or even thought process can arise. They will continuously create sankhara activity within your mundane mind. All the mental activity, mental volition, mental states, and even activity of mind that you create, if you are deluded, attachment will arise. Can you all understand this part of his teaching? So this is very important. The understanding of the impermanent nature of sankhara is very important and key to the understanding of suffering or dukkha. If you do not understand that clinging will condition, if you do not understand that, clinging will continue to arise in you, because sankhara are just your mental activity, mental states. They are only your thought process, not so real. And everything that you bring to your mind when you think are mind-made images only. It may be a very pleasant moment in your life, or a very sad moment in your life, or something that had happened and affected you a lot. Maybe your loved one are sick, very sick, or whatever. When it comes to you, it is only your thought, your sankhara, your activity of mind. But because of delusion, you start to develop the thinking. When you do not have the wisdom to understand what it is, what that is, the phrasing I think is not so good. When you do not have the wisdom, when you do not have the wisdom to understand that it is only your thought, you will develop attachment. That's why I always share this part. It's only a thought. How can we have such power to make you so miserable, so unhappy, so full of misery and fear, worry and anxiety? Then you may think the person that is dear to you is very real, and he is very important to you, and you want the best for him. So he must not have the type of traumatic sickness. He must not have that kind of problem. If you are not able to see all this clearly, everything will go on within your mental activity or thinking process. And the understanding that they are all mind-made is very important. They are only your mental creation. They come and they go. Then when you attach, there is delusion. Suffering arise. It will condition your sadness, your emotion. So this truth that the Buddha tried to explain to us regarding impermanence leading to suffering and non-self or empty nature of all phenomena within existence is not easy for you all to comprehend. So this truth that the Buddha tried to explain regarding impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature of existence of all phenomena within the condition is not easy for you all to comprehend. Then I went on to ask any question. Yes, Casey had a question. Then after I heard the question, I said, yes. This is a very good question. The content of consciousness arises simultaneously together within the arising of that consciousness. So at that time, I remember during the late 80s or even the 90s until the year 2000, early 2000, there was still this debate about how the content of consciousness arises, the seven universal. And the book always say they arise simultaneously. But people cannot understand. So that's why this person, Casey, who is at that time quite a knowledgeable Dharma practitioner, he asked me that question. So I told him, yeah, it's a very good question. the content of consciousness, especially the seven universes, they arise simultaneously together with the arising of that consciousness. Means you need the seven universes to come together so that these are common to all consciousness, so that consciousness can arise. So I explain, initially it's just the sense consciousness that arises before the content went in. That is why the Buddha said that in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, means the pure seeing before the perception, the pure aggregates of mind, vijnana, means the pure consciousness without its content. So at that moment, there is no one to see as yet. Do remember this clearly, then learn to see it in your meditation, daily mindfulness. It is only a consciousness, like the physics experiment, like the light bulb. When you turn on the switch, if the battery is in order, the light bulb will light up. Just like consciousness arising, you become conscious of what you see. But because most cultivators do not have such understanding, they cannot see. That's why the reality of this consciousness and its content is not easy to understand. So because most cultivators do not understand the reality of this rising sense of consciousness, they cannot develop the true understanding of the paticca-samuppada, the dwelling. Within the five aggregates of form and mind, one of the aggregates is vijnana, which is the pure sense of consciousness without its content. When it arises, if you do not understand its impermanent and non-self nature, you will proceed to think by inputting the content of consciousness conditioned by your views, opinion, and conditioning, including your belief system, etc. You can have the stability of mindfulness to be at the moment of that pure consciousness before the input of content of consciousness. That is the pure seeing, or the direct seeing, as taught by the Buddha when he said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see. Then you can understand, because the self-delusion has not set in as yet. This is for enlightened beings, for beings that have the wisdom, the initial wisdom. What Casey asked is just now is very good. Whenever sense consciousness arises, what actually arises and in what order? If you have developed your meditative understanding well, you will understand that every arising of consciousness is followed by the content of consciousness arising simultaneously. They do not arise separately, but your mind is different. The mind can only do one thing at a time. So all your aggregates of mind are within the content of consciousness. And your mind can be at the moment of perception, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of mental activity, and at the moment of arising of the sense of consciousness. And your mind is capable of knowing them. It is moment to moment, but because they arise so fast in you, if you do not have the stability of mindfulness or sati within you, there is no way you can deal with the arising of your sense of consciousness. That's the reason why I say without that stability of mindfulness, there is no real meditation. You cannot see, you are like blind. You totally cannot understand what is going on. And when they arise, your thought process with its perception and thinking as conditioned by your views, opinion, and your other conditioning or memory will also arise very quickly. Unless you have developed a very stable sati or mindfulness, you will not be able to cope with what is happening. Means you cannot cope with life. You will become heedless very fast. That's why the unenlightened, the puttijana, the heedless, they think a lot. They think a lot. That is why in the earlier session, I always stress that you should try to see form, the unrealities of form. Only then you will be able to see beyond form. You cannot see form, the unreality of form, or the empty nature of form. That is, form is unreal, like what we had discussed just now. It will be very difficult for you to develop the wisdom to see beyond form. Remember, there are two conditions arising aspect to it. The first aspect is true nature's condition based on nature's law. The external form arises, like the block cut analogy. The second aspect is true mental creation. Our mind creates through the sense of consciousness. And through our sense perception, we bring the external form into mind. You can understand how form comes to be. You will understand how to see form clearly and why they are not real. It is because they are just dependent originating or condition arising entity. And they exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. That's the reason why they are not real. You cannot have it your way, because when conditions are the way they are, things will be just the way they are, like the Buddha's explanation. Whatever they arise, there are causes and conditions behind. They will go the way of nature or flow that way, because they are conditioned arising entity, and dependent on condition, they will arise, exist, and exist accordingly. You cannot have things your way. So when you understand the impermanent nature of form, you can also see the characteristics of dukkha and anatta, nature within form, and how attachment or craving lead to suffering born of your sakkaya ditti or delusion. Being dependent on condition, they arise and flow. And there is no permanent unchanging entity behind every phenomenon. That is the reason why they say it is a phenomenal world of consciousness created by the mind. First, learn to understand form and mind. The emphasis is on the form. If you cannot see form, you cannot see the unreality of form. And that is even more difficult for you to see beyond form. Then form will continue to haunt you and create delusion in you. This form delusion will cause you to attach and cling on to form. When attachment arises, dukkha will follow. It is very important for you to learn to see form and the unreality of form before you can see the empty nature of form. Otherwise, you will be caught. You will be entangled. Once you are able to see the empty nature of form, the external creation that mind creates, the mundane mind, I should read again. The external creation that the mundane mind creates will fail to deceive you. So all this form delusion will collapse in front of you. And the wisdom arising will lead you to understand the 12 links. The links are dependent on ignorance, mental activity comes to be. And dependent on mental activity or sankhara, consciousness come to be. Then the mental consciousness, dependent on that, the content of consciousness when in namarupang come to be, etc. When wisdom had dawned upon you, you can see the 12 links clearly, especially how ignorant conditioned mental activity or thinking leading to the arising of the five aggregates of form and mind, the second aspect, the mental five aggregates. You can also see the unreality of form through seeing the condition arising and impermanent nature, and how this bodily form goes the way of nature. With this understanding, your thought process or thinking or sankhara will start to slow down, because without ignorance, sankhara or mental activity cannot arise. But dependent on ignorance, they arise. So the flow and, dependent on ignorance, they arise. They will flow and create attachment through delusion. And if you want things your way, dukkha will follow, because they are impermanent and goes the way of nature. It is not a permanent, unchanging entity. they come and they go. So he know you, he know me within. The anicchang, dukkang, and anatta characteristics will be very clear to the cultivator. Once you can see all this very clearly, all the external creation, the world of form created by the mundane mind, will collapse in front of you. They will not be able to trap you anymore. Not until this collapse happens, your mind will have no peace. Where this external form will continue to entice you or entice you, haunt you, and have power over you to create attachment in you because of that. Living beings will find it very difficult to liberate their mind or free their mind. But when you have developed the wisdom to see the unreality of form and how form arises because of nature's condition, you will be able to develop the wisdom not to be deceived and not to cling, not to hold, and not to attach. We have already said that there are two aspects to the condition arising nature of all phenomena. I have to repeat this because this topic is not easy to understand. I may have to repeat it many times. I have already spoken on this many times before. That is, if you can have this ability to see the unreality of form, your thinking will slow down because by then you will have less ignorance. You will have less and less thinking because this form cannot haunt or delude you anymore. Your mindfulness will become more and more stable. The direct seeing of reality and the phenomenal world of physical phenomena, mental phenomena, and nature's phenomena all included will be very clear to you. And this is very true. You will start to develop the understanding and the wisdom very quickly. Because when your mind is not clouded by the mundane thinking and your reaction of mind or stirring of mind or the mundane arising at the moment of sense experience leading to perception, attachment, feelings and emotion, etc., your mind will be very peaceful, very clear. The real seeing can then come forward, means the direct seeing. The real seeing can then come forth. The true penetration of truth leading to insight knowledges and awakening can come about. This is how it actually works. When you are able to see form, the unreality of form, only then can you see beyond form. And form will no longer delude you, have any power over you. Only then are you in the position to see the mind. Because mind is less tangible, means they are not something visible. It's invisible, not like external form, which are more tangible and gross and visible, and you can see them more easily. Since mind is invisible, more subtle and very deceiving, it can deceive you into believing many things. That's the reason why it is more difficult to see mind. So the understanding is, if you cannot see form, you cannot see mind. After we have dealt with this, there is a second thing that I want you all to understand. The second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Okay, we better stop them because I'll stop there. Then we will open up for meditation reporting.
I just want to express my today's teaching is so beautiful, even though we have read it many times.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the understanding is like just sing in beautifully. You know, especially
now you have the condition to understand. Yeah, you go on.
Last time I feel that that's impossible to see the 12 links.
Yeah.
Happening so fast. So with your explanation just now. Initially, I have the question, how to see it? I can only see the avijja, paccha, paccha, vinyana. The following one is like, it happens
The input of content or consciousness is not easy. That one you need very stable mindfulness.
Yeah.
Because that movement of the mental activity from the memory, from the brain, from the conditioning. You can see it very clearly when you have the mindfulness, the stability of it. But normal people cannot, because they are so heedless and deluded. And that one is like so habitual, automatic. So there is like no gap, because they cannot see the consciousness, the pure consciousness. The moment of consciousness, they cannot. Because straight away the perception and the views, opinion and conditioning, they input the content already, like and dislike, the mind stir and react. That's why they can't see. Without the stability of mindfulness and understanding, you can't see. Now you start to understand, because you have gone through the cultivation process to a certain extent. So that's why you will appreciate, Adeline, Saturday. Very good. Your explanation is very good.
That means when we see things, let's say, for example, the seeing consciousness.
Yeah.
So if we just see it and then without arising the sankhara, and then that is a pure seeing consciousness.
The pure direct seeing things as they are.
And that's it. But when you have
cannot do that until there is wisdom. Wisdom is you see things as they are. You act according to your understanding, because at that moment of seeing, it's just a pure consciousness. The best way to practice it or train it is you look at a painting. You look at a painting, okay? For the painting, it's more difficult for you to develop the perception and the idea of what that painting is. That's why I like you to train on the painting. Then you can see very clearly. At the moment when the memory starts to perceive that painting and come out with the words and concept of that painting, that one is mundane mind already. The pure direct seeing is no more. But when you see with clarity everything, it's just like you look at the mic, microphone, without the words, without the concept, you see the reality of that so-called piece of microphone. You understand that? So when you see things, like the painting, is the same. You see everything, but without the words. That can only happen when you have stability of mindfulness and you understand what this movement is, the dwelling, the patija. That's why you can be at the moment of feeling. It's like stop there. You can have that pure feeling. Normal people cannot. That feeling straight away condition craving. Emotion. That's why without mindfulness, you cannot have that understanding. That's the reason why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance because you're completely blind. You can't see. That's the reason why I say without daily mindfulness, the stability of it, there is no real meditation. There is no real awakening and understanding. Everything is just Dhamma knowledge. So now, with this explanation, hopefully it can allow you to understand. So every time you see something, you see the reality, the whole thing. Then when you try to develop the understanding, you can honestly see. Then you can also be aware of the moment the concept come in. But the deluded Puttajana who don't have the Dhamma and the understanding and the stability of mindfulness, they can't. But the moment they see, they will label it. They say, how can you not label it? Well, to them, they see the concept, the word. Like microphone, they don't see the microphone. They see that word, that concept of that microphone. So you ask them, what is that microphone just now? They cannot describe to you the detail. Well, they think they see, they assume. So the word, microphone, because to them is take for granted, very common. Yeah. That's why when you observe things, you don't really observe because the concept. Even your laptop or your computer or what, you don't really look at it. But most of the time you are playing with it, you are engrossed with your computing and all those things and your thinking. But if you really see, you see the whole thing. That reality, that pure seeing, then that aggregate of mind, you want to be at the moment of feeling, you can be there. Then you can see how your sankhara move. Then how you input your whatever content of consciousness. So those that have the Dhamma and the wisdom, they act according to wisdom and understanding. That one, the content of consciousness that they get go in, is the understanding without the evil roots. That's why it's not for memory. It's not your views, opinion, and conditioning. It's true right view, true understanding. That's why you will have the Noble Eightfold Path embodiment. Then you will arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action. You will understand. Whereas the one that is deluded and heedless, they will act according to memory. That's why the habitual tendency, the reflect action, everything just come in. So this is the aspect of training that is very, very difficult to comprehend unless people develop the stability of mindfulness. Well, in the past, I can't really go into detail because I know hardly anybody has that ability. That's why when I share, you can be at the moment of feeling, moment of perception, moment of input of content or consciousness, then the activity of my sankhara. This one, hardly anybody can do. To do this, your mindfulness has to be very stable. This one, I saw it after 1989, after I awakened. Then I have that stability of mindfulness. Then later on, when my mundane mind collapsed 9 months later, it's even more clear. Then the supramundane mind, the very fine one, there's another movement. So unless people reach that stage, we may not have the condition to share all this thing. But even at this stage, it's not easy. Very few people can have that stability of mindfulness to do what I share. So, but there are some cultivators who are moving into this, and they can understand what I say now. Even for you, Adeline, you can actually follow to a certain extent already. Your last time, you completely cannot follow. So now I go through this revision again. It will bring for the condition for those who really have developed the stability of mindfulness to have the understanding. So the understanding is now no more like last time, superficial, theoretical. Now it's going in more deeply according to your progress. Stability of mindfulness, understanding, and yoniso manasikara. So can I understand, Adelaide?
Yeah. It's like you say, it becomes deeper, and then that links to the triangle also.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Triangle is very beautiful. So now you start to understand how the pure awareness, that see the consciousness up there. That see is the pure consciousness. Then if you use it to live life, means you go down the right hand side, you deal with the five aggregate of form and mind, the senses. Okay? So that one will arise the mundane consciousness. This is for living, karmic and all those things. Whereas if you silence your mind with the direct seeing on the left slope, the left side, it will develop wisdom. That's why the pure consciousness on top, see, on the left hand side, it will go down to wisdom. The wisdom, the understanding, the right view. So that direct seeing is meditation. That is what Hui Ning teach. No thought. No thought is what? True mind. Only the true mind can awaken. Only the true mind can see the direct seeing, the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. Then how the mundane mind movement all that happened, that silent mind can see. That's why through mindfulness, it becomes very clear to them. And then with that wisdom that arise on the left-hand side slope, you use it to live life. You live life according to your understanding, which is wisdom. You act according to wisdom. That's why that is the living aspect for enlightened being. So the triangle will become very clear to you when you have this ability to understand the dwelling, the stability of mindfulness, and they are all connected. That's why the whole teaching is not easy. When I teach, it's already from that understanding. That's why it's not easy for normal cultivator to even see the full picture. So it's good that you can link it to the triangle. Sadhu to you. Very good, huh?
Thank you, Brother.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, Brother.
Miss Lee, Sadhu.
Thank you very much for re-picture this one as a reminder.
Yeah.
Very well. A lot of joy by listening to it.
Oh, Sadhu to you. Yeah, you can understand now. Your mindfulness has improved, Sadhu, Miss Lee. Yeah.
Because today capture about the
pure consciousness.
That's
actually it's also the pure awareness. When you are just aware without the aggregate of mind coming in, that is the pure consciousness. Means the direct seeing, you see things as they are.
So I like to share my first experience of the spacious awareness with our center.
Go ahead, yes.
It's when I attended the Dharma drums. Remember, actually, I think Brother Teo had covered this area about the spacious awareness. And the pure consciousness before I went.
Which
I went, they started the walking meditation 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, okay.
From the Genting Highlands, the building.
Oh, okay.
Very nice, very, very beautiful scenery, all that.
Oh, okay.
It reminded us, just walk. When you see everything, you don't give meaning to it.
Oh, Sadhu, that is very good. Means do not arise the perception. Yes. Learn to see things as they are, without words, without perception. But you cannot use the thought to want to do that. Then once you use the thought want to do that, that is a conditioned thinking behind.
No, because Barajo have been mentioned this before.
Yes.
So I know what is it about.
Sadhu. That's why because of that you can do it. Otherwise you can't.
I work for 2 hours. Then towards the end, the mind is so quiet.
Yeah, Sadhu.
Suddenly you hear you heard the sound of silence.
Yes, shift in consciousness. Yes.
The whole day, the mind is the same.
Sadhu.
Then when I came back, which I drove back on the that's the last day of the retreat.
Oh, very good.
I drove back. Then suddenly the driving is different.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you have that ability to have that spacious awareness, your mind has gone through a shift, which is very different. Then it can actually see a lot more thing.
Like a big picture to you in front. Very focused, and your movement, everything is very fast.
It's like everything is very clear to you. It's like you are very mindful, aware of all the movement, because there is nothing, more or less nothing to cloud you, unless you have that mind which has no sankara or other activity. The spacious awareness cannot come about. The spacious awareness without a center must be a free mind, completely free, without any sankara activity. But for your case, because you have to drive, your senses has to actually arise. But when your senses arise, you have to understand this. When you are driving, you drive. Means you need to perceive, you need to know what is going on, you let it go on. But when you are traveling, where the traffic is less hectic or whatever, then that time you are more relaxed. Then you can have that mind that has the ability to see. Then a lot of things you see is different. But next time, my suggestion to you is if you drive, try not to do it. If you drive, focus on driving. Unless you have stabilized your sati, your stability of sati is there, then you can do it. Otherwise, the best is somebody else drive. And then, you do that. Because last time when I came down from Cameron Highland, when I went through this, the bus driver was driving, I was in front. Then I saw the sense data coming in. Then I know already how the dwelling is going to condition my that new mind into the old mundane mind. Then how all these things is going to happen. Because of the understanding, I saw all this. Then my nature knew. No wonder the normal Putujana, unenlightened living being, they were attached, they were going. Yeah, they can't see all this. They cannot understand what is going on. They don't know that there is another mind, which is the silent mind, the true mind, that nature. So without this stability of mindfulness and the understanding of this true mind, you completely, like, heedless, blind, cannot understand at all. So that is what I went through. So my advice to you is, it's already very good, but the best is, if you are not driving, somebody else drive, then you can see more clearly. Then you can actually put the pure awareness, pure consciousness on into training. Means you just see. Everything is without word on. Just the awareness. Just later on, I watch the TV. The TV also, the movement only, the activity, the color, the pixel, all the movement is within my awareness. Very clear. But no perception. Then I want to know, I can know. I don't want to know, there is nothing. Then I just away, finish. Very different, very beautiful. Yeah, you will go through all this later on when it's stabilized. So all this understanding will unfold. That's why those who cultivate correctly, you will go through this process. Then you will develop this type of understanding. So my nature rejoices, sadhu to you, Miss Lee, for having the ability and the experience. The experience will help you to move on further, to develop more understanding. But do not be complacent. Go back and continue with your daily mindfulness training until it's stabilized. Because during retreat, when you can experience this, it's very good. It can give you a very good understanding. Like a big break to move on further. Yeah. But if you become complacent, if you neglect your daily religious routine and stability of daily mindfulness training, then the other aspect of mindfulness that's supposed to allow you to see the subtle mental intention and the dwelling clearly, you will miss them. And when you miss them, you think you already know, you think you already had the thing. That is where complacency set in and the cultivator was stagnant. But when you continue to persevere and develop until the stability of mindfulness become very, very stable, then continue to do the formal meditation, relax into it until that gateway that you locate transform you. Until much later the mundane mind will collapse. And then that time, you become very different. You become very different. So, sadhu to you, Miss Lee. Sadhu. Anything else you want to share?
No, and the beautiful is you see, normally the how I want to show, I want to mention about the difference between the pure awareness and the mundane, that means the consciousness. So when I came back, I got another appointment in Bandar Utama.
Oh, okay.
At 7:30.
Oh, okay.
And I have to follow the way of section 16.
Yeah.
It's very jammed when I have to be there at 7:30, out at 7.
Yeah.
Since that time, the mind is very serene. And
It's not agitated. It don't have the like normal behavior like, worry, I'm going to be late. No, all those sankara cannot arrive. You will be very patient, you will understand. Condition like that, things will be like that.
When you follow the traffic,
it was clear.
Lot of jump queue car, I think.
Yeah.
Normally, if you don't have that mind, you will feel very agitated because...
Correct.
But that time you seem to flow with them.
Yeah. When you start to develop the negativity of thought, then you realize your karma become like very negative. Then everything go wrong, their decision all wrong. But if you echo and flow, suddenly the thing clear one. And you will be amazed. Hey, how come like that one? And you can reach in time. No problem. It will happen. It will happen. Yeah.
Cool. Then after that, the whole way is so smooth.
Yeah.
And everything is clearing. Then from on, I use that type of mind to drive actually.
Yes. That is what Dhamma is. When you understand, you accept the reality of the moment. When you accept, you do not create negative thought. You do not want things your way. There is no craving. That mind become very serene. Then your nature become very beautiful. Then, very funny one, nature's law. It will arise the causes and conditions for you to witness and to see that this type of mind will lead to beautiful things. That's why the cultivator of the way will come to know if you follow the Dhamma way, everything go your way. You are like very well protected. You are like blessed. And everything go your way. That's why you become different. Then like what I used to share with you, Bo Kao Lu Bo Xiong Si, this is nature's way, nature's law. And you will feel that you are very blessed. Then you will not revert back to the old way of doing things. You cannot read it. So sometimes my daughter also experience, she travel to other places. Like the weather is very kind to them. Like everything go their way, very blessed. So all this come from cultivation. If you don't have the cultivation, your mind negative, everything is like very soil and the karmic hit against everything is like reactive one. Then the nature's law also won't accord. It will hit back. So this is what mundane people who are heedless, they don't experience. They only see, why am I so soy? This thing already bad enough. Now it is jack. The more angry you are, the more unhappy you are, the negativity of karmic and the nature of feedback. And it will make your life more and more miserable. So you must always remember, at peace with all things, all conditions. That is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. Condition like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. So if you react and stir your mind, then it will condition more negativity. Then it cannot break that cycle. It cannot be at peace. Sadhu, very good. So finally you reach the destination of the meeting.
The destination, then everything is more than the second time. Because I use these things to drive.
Yeah.
For some times. Then one day I came to Paramount Garden. And suddenly from the petrol station there's one motorbike, you know. That came out and rushed to my car. I can see from the back street.
Sadhu. Yeah.
Yeah. The phone is so fast.
Yeah. Because your awareness. You can see. Yes.
That I can turn it.
Yes. You can avoid all those things. Yeah, it's like somehow that nature will enable you to be aware of all those things. And my nature with that ability avoided a lot of things. That's why man to be will be.
But you can go to another road, the opposite road. And that time don't know how the response is so fast that I sometimes the bike also just missed my car. And he was
Because of your nature, it has the ability. So all this will happen. Then sometimes how it happened, you may not understand, but this is part of nature's law. If you have the Dhamma protector will protect you. Nature will protect you. So you can have the ability, you can understand, you can see, and you can avoid. I avoided a lot. Last time I share one incident, you remember? I was driving along the highway Alostar to Penang. There was a long jam to queue. Then suddenly the jam cleared. Then everybody started to speed. So I also follow. Then all of a sudden, there was accident in front of me. So it was about 3-4 cars in front of me. Then I saw the front car already break. Then have accident already, smash it. Then the other car also emergency brake, also accident already. Then my car, I straight away knew I can brake in time because that car in front of me also apply emergency brake. But I saw it. I was aware earlier. But then somehow my nature look at the rear mirror, no? And I saw behind me that car. I can feel he doesn't know what is happening in front, no? That he's going to smash into me, you know? So what I did was I sway out to the side table, no? And you know what happened or not? After I sway out of the side table to let him have my space, he still banged into the car in front of me. You see, that fellow really hit us. Then the car behind him also banged into him. Then three or four cars, one shot. But I missed them because I went to the side table. Well, I knew I had to move out. And it was like spontaneous. I just went out. Then immediately, pam! Then the two, three cars all together in a row. You will have the ability when you are mindful, when you are alert, when you are aware. And your nature will know what to do. It's like spontaneous one. You don't need to think one. That nature, that awareness will condition you and you will understand. And it just happened. So this will arise. So what you describe is normal. Nothing abnormal. And it can lead to more and more beautiful things. As you experience all this, you will start to understand it yourself. Then later on, you can also share your experience and your story. But this is nature's law, nothing else. Okay, Miss Lee?
Thank you.
Yeah.